money and policies myself. I have pension return on pension for Clark. Apologies to anybody else. Nope. Okay. And declarations of interest. Nope. Okay, we're not seeing them. We move on to number three, which is the ERC action sheet from December 10th. And if anybody has any issues with that, there is from the action sheet.
We've had copies here.
Sorry, copies, sir. You have one? Has nobody access to their Wi-Fi? Is your Wi-Fi working?
Yeah.
It's just in there, isn't it?
Yeah, that would be no wider. So that's something we shouldn't have. We bought it in the action thing and we're hitting with
it. Oh, well, it's nothing to do with Wi-Fi.
Nothing to do with it. No. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah,
it's
on your Wi-Fi working.
I don't know.
And you have a hard copy in front of you.
Yes, I'm all right now.
Yeah, that's what I am. So does anybody have the items on the ERP action sheet there? Mm-hmm. Happy to move on there.
Yeah.
Proposer?
Sure.
Robert Sackler. Second.
Thank you.
Item number four. Jonathan, you're going to take us through this. The Skills and Hospital Program.
Yes, sir. I'm very important. I'm going to thank the various committee for the support. The CREST program, which is the Council of Regional Tribal Skills and Training Program. Not just detailing some of the external from that portion, but through SRC. So what we are then, the second part of the report is looking at the vocational program, the College of Connected program, where both SRC and FDRC are supporting the SDR function channels. And the second, we're looking at four new elements, which is technical college resource level one, project ed vocations, development sensory skills, and probably support, and it's part of the NACE term, which is young people have an employment or training. So the recommendation area is to continue to campus and train towards that program in the next 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. So I read the report there on Friday, and some excellent results mean that case. I think we should certainly propose that we go ahead with it.
You're proposing that, Gary?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else to speak on this? Your second motion, ready? I'm happy enough then. Does anybody else have any questions to this? We move on now to item number five, which is audio guides for the Memorial Moore Museum. Andy?
Chair, the paper sets out the requirements to secure a new audio tour guide system for the museum at Wagnalls and Apple. The current system has been very well used and has helped to bring museums and exhibitions to life. The new system will provide enhanced features such as integration with visitor smartphones and several international languages. At the minute, about 40% of the visitors coming into the museum use the current audio guide system, so it's something that we're looking to update.
Okay, Robert.
I propose we go with recommendations. This is what's needed within our museums. And I'll be explaining to not just the young people and the people who are in attendance, but also their students and managers and enjoy it up or something. I propose.
Guy?
Yeah,
I'm
happy to
say,
wherever you go in the world, turn around and back about the best, but not for yourself, there's, you know, perhaps when you go to exhibitions or anything, I mean, it really brings things alive. Certainly,
if you want to
attract visitors,
I'm going to
glad to see the extra
language
coming in there as well. Thank you,
Jim. Brian? Thank you, Chair. Yes, I would be very much for it, but I'll make sure that for my answer system, that's going to go over all of our sites.
Mm-hmm.
The use of the museum and their public, the quorum and the LLM, and all of this. So, we're not necessarily a whole lot of different programs. We can never stop out to buy it, but we'll buy it in one set.
Certainly, Chairman, I think what we're doing is looking at a study to see what the specific requirements is for the museum in Downpatrick. It's a wee bit of a different system required because of the layout of the different exhibitions that are in there, but we'd very much be looking at the procurement of a system that could work over a number of sites.
Aye.
Questions just been answered.
Okay.
The guys, so no problem. Thank you.
Hi, John.
Thank you, John. Sure, I'd like to see the
amount of proposed rounds is strong out. We have quite a few Eastern European people live in the area and visit the area. The common language to a lot of those people would be Russian. I also do believe that the Chinese very much are on the move, coming to Europe as part of their hobby is becoming the norm. There's a market there potentially of hundreds and hundreds of millions of people. So, Mandarin or Cantonese, and the very missionary German on the Spanish, third of the worst population speaks Spanish, and it's not good, so I'd like to see that pretty well. There may be a reason why it's not good.
And it really, I suppose, in the commentary, we could include as many languages as required, but it's really down to cost, I suppose. So, what we could certainly do is look at the cost implications of those different languages and review that as part of the proposal.
Sure, I'm very much glad on that. The other sort of point of view, when I was going to put out a bit, especially with the Spanish and possibly Portuguese, but as well,
as well as that, quite honestly, I think it's a good, in a sense,
an efficiency for the council, because I tell you, if you have that in place and a good system in place, you don't need as many staff about the place to explain what actually is in the building.
Okay, Michael.
Thank you, Chair. Just
a
reminder
about it says and it's already in this year's budget. Does that mean it'll be completed before March?
Yeah, very much. So we'll be looking at securing the system and getting it implemented before the end of this financial year.
Okay, if nobody else has any questions, I think it was on board and comments that are made. Move on then to item 6, trade and consumer promotions. Again, I'll give myself a minute.
Yeah, Chair, the paper sets out the details of foreign travel market. It's one of the largest tourism trade shows in Europe, and it's attended by tour operators and buyers from Ireland's main markets, including North America, Germany, France, and GB. It's attended by many of the main local authorities from NI and Ottawa, and our attendance would be as part of Tourism Ireland's trade fair. And then we've got a proposal for Holiday Board in Dublin also for officers to attend that show.
Yeah, I would propose that obviously what we're doing in terms of tourism is important, but we need to continue to build on the momentum, so I think it would be very important to do that.
Are you proposing that?
Yes,
sir. Robert, you're looking in.
I was just to say that normally staying in councillor would up there. There's not room for one of those up here.
And predominantly this year we're looking at officer engagement with the travel trade itself. So we've looked at the format and in terms of our proposal with an incident officer, most of it is meetings with buyers themselves this year, and less, I suppose, in terms of consumer focus on the stand itself.
Okay, can we have a signer for that? And we move on to item number 7, which is the Narnia interpretation project. Tommy, yourself again.
Yeah, Chair, the Timberstone site, the details of the proposed HLF on the project enhanced the Narnia experience of Kogomi. The project will help to build and promote Kogomi's strong links with CS Lewis and in particular the Chronicles of Narnia, and will provide an improved user experience for residents and international visitors alike. All the details are set out in the paper itself.
Okay, Jonathan, you're looking in there?
Yes, Chair, I very much welcome this. Anything that can enhance the visitor experience has to be welcomed, and I mean, what's in place at the minute is excellent, but it's great work on the part of the officers and the tourism department that they recognize that they can't sit in their lives and they've got to keep progressing these things. Well, just on a side question, Chair. Sorry, Chair, I'd like to propose that we accept that. But just on a side, with this committee, some stage, a year before last, talked about leasing out that building in question, whatever came of that, I never found out. Thanks, Chair.
There was proposed being looked at in terms of that warden's residence, in terms of the possibility for use of changing rooms. Now, there's a big big study going on, we're looking at that at the minute, and a recommendation still being worked through by officers from AHD, but it's really looking at, from sport and NI's perspective, the recommendation was that wardens wouldn't be feasible for those changing facilities due to the distance from the pitches themselves. So we're looking at other options in the opportunity for the likes of the tennis pavilion to be used for incoming teams.
Dara, did you want to just follow back on that?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Gerard. Only I actually was referring to, I thought it was a paper brought here to seek expressions of interest of the residents. So actually, we had it with the residents.
Yes, sir. We did follow that process, and we had one, person that had indicated it, but it didn't prove to be viable. I don't know the details of that. However, we see this as a much more, viable project that will actually enhance the use of the building itself. So we recommend to the committee that this is the way we proceed on this particular aspect.
Thank you.
Okay. Jonathan? Dagon?
I support all of this. We've noticed over the last couple of years that, that anything that we did in terms of the Narnia idea and Brooks and T.S. Lewis have been really, really well attended and highly thought of when we did put the things on, so or the different events on. So I think that this is a great progression as well, bringing this forward. And I was just mentioning earlier on there about the collection that even there is with T.S. Lewis in the wider area again today, so whether we develop that on out. As part of that, investigate that as well, where we actually stated it was rather well in our past. And the coronavirus by a good package, and I think we've invested even more on this year, so I'm happy to say that.
Okay, any other things that you wish to speak on it? Are we happy enough then? We're closing the time, we move on there. Item number 8 then is to consider the following notice of motion in the name of Councillor Henry for the community festivals. And just to clarify, Kirogan, from the last meeting where you attended and you said that you had received clarification from our officers that it would be heard at that particular meeting, I, after that meeting, went and asked for information and learned that, and I was told quite clearly you were informed before that meeting that the motion would not be heard until this month. So, very clearly. So, if you'd like to read. Hold on a minute. You made your point the last minute, thanks Aaron, and that's the issue dealt with. So we'll move on, you can go ahead and read your notice of motion out, and you have approximately 10 minutes.
You're very kind, Chairperson.
Mm-hmm. Over to
you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My motion reads as follows. Council recognises that a small number of community festivals running for 20 years or more, especially in the Old Town area, are important markers on the tourism trail. Council recognises that current annualised funding arrangements make funding for these festivals precarious and uncertain from year to year, and inhibit festival organisers booking in advance to get best prices or tie up what time might be used in order to attract alternative funding elsewhere. Council resolves to create a multi-annual funding mechanism similar to the service level agreements now used for community centres to allow recognised festival committees to enhance and expand their works and secure the knowledge that they have for funding. Now, I can use a number of examples here, but maybe Dermot wasn't here. In his particular town, our Glass has had a festival for 49 years on the trot. And for the last 2 years, for various administrative reasons, they haven't succeeded in getting funding, which, when you're used for a big year next year, when you're used to getting funding, it's a huge blow to find out a few weeks or a few months before the festival is to kick off that you're not going to get it. Equally, last year was put on when the new form came out, and you all recall how it was 63 pages long. They just couldn't read it, they couldn't handle 63 pages. Now, if you knew how to read the form properly, you'd realize, of course, that you only had to fit in 20 of those particular pages. but it's not obvious to the casual observer. But more importantly, council has passed a motion before requesting that funding for community festivals be notified in integral time so that tourism and I could be told when the festivals are on. That's currently not possible. Now, most councillors are aware that community-led festivals with a tourism-related bent are much better value for money than large, expensive council programs. And if we were able to map out on a timeline the festivals that are occurring all around the district from Warren Point to Strangford Village in Kinnane, we would be able, with 1 or 2 years' notice, to inform Tourism and I when these festivals are on, something we can't do at the moment. We could do it under a service level agreement, the way they do for community centres, something we were told initially wasn't possible. And we could provide a much better service not only for our constituents, but for marketing ourselves to Ireland at large and indeed to Europe at large. Now, unusually, this motion provoked a report from management, which is quite unusual for notices of motion. And the report, it's difficult to see how a report on a notice of motion has not yet been heard could actually reflect upon what it is that the councillor is trying to get across in their motion. Now, you can boil the report down to two issues. The first issue is to say, well, we're looking into getting timely funding for festivals anyway. Now, we passed a motion 3 years ago to seek funding, timely funding for motions, and we didn't get it. We passed the full council meeting. Second of all, it says that there is no mechanism in place to commit budgets, including funding for the council's own tourism events or tourism events for major or minor community-led festivals outside of each financial year. This is not true. Several years ago, council and councillors instructed management to bring in service level agreements so that community centres wouldn't have to suffer the agony of not knowing until a few weeks before the next year whether or not they were going to get funding for their community centres. And we resolved to sign up community centres on the service level agreements and to give them multi-year funding through the term of the council. So we've done it before, we can do it again. Currently, we're running a surplus on our Tier 2 projects, and we can definitely kick off this motion, because we can afford to kick off this motion in this year. It seems to me that if Active and Healthy can come up with a service level agreement that will allow community centres to be funded in the first, second, third, fourth and fifth year of council, and so they can spend their fundraising activities with other funders, then certainly ERT can do exactly the same, because there's nothing that ERT can't, that the Active and Healthy can do, that ERT can't do. So that's what we're looking for, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Roisin, are you in again?
Just a comment, if that's all right. I have to say that I'm always very disappointed when we keep reverting back to the old guy and the old Miriam Moore. We're now 4 years in with a community council, and we should be looking at it from a Miriam Moore and Guy perspective, and of course, right by management, and I'm sure this is never mind. But I do think it's helpful to be, you know, continually investing ourselves into what has been in the past, to be looking forward. I do think that for community groups, anything that we can do through GDF structures or, you know, the system. I think in the systems, you know, through the structures and financial assistance program, any assistance that can be given to community groups would be extremely beneficial and gratefully received. We do our rates process on a year-to-year basis, and I'm not entirely sure that we can, give anyone the comfort that in 3 years' time we're going to be funding an event which they may want to organise. It's something that I would feel uncomfortable with. But I do appreciate, in terms of our community-led events, how significant they are and how important they are, and I definitely believe that we should support them. I do think, again, that we're in a situation where we are blurring the lines between a tourism event and a community event.
and you know, we had this something similar to this last year. The tourism event has been hugely successful. The numbers and facts and figures are there to support the investment in them and the knock-on effect that they have in terms of regenerating businesses and creating employment. And I think we need to focus very much on that. And I think the tourism department in this place is to be admired for the festivals they have put on to date.
Thanks, Glenn, you want to?
Chair, I think what Russell said there is pretty much tourism events and community events, there is confusion over them, so there is. Perhaps it could be in some states that it could give some clarification on them. A community event, I assume, Marie, and Andy, there is a definition from the laid down at some place, so there is. And just on that, too, there. The review and the financial assessment program, just a question, please. At what stage are we at with that, or is this just an evolving thing that happens every year, Marie?
We did previously define community and tourism events, unfortunately, don't have those in hand. I think it is important to distinguish between a community event and a tourism driven event. In relation to the review, that was just, if you remember, it was probably 2 committees ago, there was a significant amount of discussion regarding the most recent funding applications. We do review annually anyway, and we'll be getting ready to probably work the call in February, March time, in line with our revenue budgets. We set our revenue budgets on an annual basis, as members know, and we don't have any commitment in relation to those on an annual basis. We struggle ourselves from the point of view of our own tourism events and members of them themselves. We don't have that commitment until the rate is struck in February each year. Once we try to work through it to get an idea of where we're at, so that is a challenge just. So we will be reviewing it. I would suggest we probably will bring something back to the committee maybe January time, just to get an idea of where that is, to get ready for the next call as well, when we have something struck.
With a significant overspend this year, but just to make it clear, that is for tourist events, is that right?
Yes, Chair, that was a tourism fund, yes. So we had, if you will remember, made a suggestion on the expenditure that has been agreed by the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Can our council not compile a calendar of what events is on within our area, and then we can debate it and decide which are tourism events and which are community events? Because, as we've already said, the lines are blurred. So I can think of several festivals, namely the Hornet and Tail Vintage Festival, where there is over 50 to 60 vintage vehicles come across from the south of Ireland. And they booked up every room in the county area for that weekend. They have already booked for coming next year again. Their hope is to do a 1,000 vehicle fitting club, which will book up all the accommodation in the area. So, once again, I would like to see us compiling this calendar so that we can discuss it. Also, it would reduce the opportunities for overlap. Because one of the things that I was astonished by during the summer there was the summer festival being on the Castle Mound and Visitors Green being on the summer at the same time, which were both basically looking for the same audience in that whole area of Hillside, Kilkoo and all around there. People were deciding to go there one night that those two festivals should have been getting full support from the community who are into Irish music from Clifton University and all the rest. They missed out badly because of running against one another. When I spoke to some of the people who were organising the festival in Castleman, they had never heard of Bitter Street. It's better belief. We as council should have a directory to reduce that overlap
and to decide which festival will perform and which will not, which are tourism and which are community.
And I think in relation to the festivals, when they decide their own year, festivals themselves, it's not really our call as a council, and I'd be surprised if people in Castle have never heard of the Fiddler Stream.
The organizers.
From what I can gather, is the Songer Festival and the Fiddler Stream Festival were two huge successes.
The organizers of the Songer Festival told me face to face that he'd never heard of Fiddler Stream.
Well, we can get out a bit more of the time, he's winding up. Okay, anybody else have any comments? Declan, sorry.
The answer of the formality of the motion, what the sentiment of Sir Kane has when we referred to discuss it as a motion as such. I do think there's something warranted. I'm not sure really about the business of setting down, future funding in terms of serving as evidence agreements. But I do think I think virtually every vessel that takes place in the area has some sort of an element of tourism in it. Because if we're getting so many tourists that we allegedly are getting, then some of them are bound to be attending this, albeit by accident. So there is an element of that where tourists will attend probably every vessel. And many of them know that throughout the whole the region counties, we can dip in the festivals that are on holidays, whatever. So with that in mind, I do think we shouldn't just simply write off these festivals and not having a tourism impact. But perhaps maybe a way forward is that, and I'm not too sure, look at some of the bigger last time that were awarded, and you say there's an understand, but it may be useful if there was some form of minimum amount that they would get, that they could be sure of maybe some other than going, putting an application in and not knowing what they're getting, like 200 managers. So maybe they could come to some sort of agreement that maybe there'd be a minimum amount or a minimum amount that they would get, and after that, then it could be up for grabs as such, or it could be considered. But if the established ones were given that, and then I don't forget we did say it with the onset of this council that some of the bigger vessels, we would have sort of expected them to be self generating in terms of backers and people who would be supportive of it. But that has proven really an amount of resistance to that, even the big vessels. When you say only for council money, they wouldn't be able to really carry it off so well, I think I'm quite accurate in saying that if we were to draw all the money from bigger vessels, it would be a huge cry about it, So I think we're learning as we go. We don't forget we're learning as we go along. Again, Charlie learned the same in the background. But I think that maybe, I think we've got, and maybe it goes some way to what's good old and saying that it brings a certainty to some of the groups.
I think what Councillor McAleer is suggesting is we would guarantee festivals a minimum amount of money. We have an application process and we run that in a manner which is very consistent across the district. We spent a considerable amount of time last year reviewing how we actually do this process, and indeed that got into the big festivals and whether they'd be guaranteed funding, and there was a lot of debate around the fairness and equity. We ran the process. There have been a number of queries that have been raised following that at the end of this year, which we discussed 2 months ago, committee, and indeed that's part of the review process. I would again remind members we track our revenue budgets on an annual basis, so we do. And to be honest with you, guarantee of money for festivals is not even present at council level. So I'm not sure how we could guarantee a revenue budget going forward. My understanding, and I can't really comment in detail of the AHC's SLAs with community centres. I think there are completely different from the SLAs that we have with a number of different places like the Moran Heritage Trust and St Patrick's Visitor Centre, and there's a couple of other ones that we hold. We have SLAs that we would
review on an annual basis, but there's absolutely no guarantee of the level of funding that will be going to each of those groupings. So it's something I would suggest that we look at as part of the general review. I think it's important as well to say that, you know, community events and things that go on within the community are the fabric of the area, and that's what makes the area what it is as well from the point of view of the tourism consideration. But we also have to remember, you know, this department is directly responsible for enterprise regeneration tourism. I am planning and building control because that's the case. And we have an active and healthy community department that's actually got responsibility for the development and delivery of community I suppose at a local level, and that's for the DEA. So it's trying to make sure that we work in the appropriate manner across the directorates to suppose deliver. So it's not that I do the doubt that the community best can add to the fabric of the area, but we have to remember the levels of resource and responsibility within each director.
You know, if we decide to do it, we can do it. There's nothing left there in any structure design or say we can. If that's the design that we decide as a group of councillors, we can do it.
We would have to have some process of IT for
the design process, but we design any process. We should be agreeing.
I can understand what you're trying to say, Declan, but I'm not sure it's practical that the
We have a system where people apply on the national system, and if we can't make recommendations, I think you would almost think that they can recruit the guys that are outside the council. No. The council staff and blind the other council staff.
Sure,
we have a question to do what we want to do.
But sure, within governance structures, we could say that at a minimum level, you would, if you were successful in getting through the process, get £200 at a minimum level. But that would be on the basis of you getting through a process, so we couldn't guarantee any grouping any minimum unless they have got through a process. And that's what I am referring to when I say it's not possible to guarantee anybody a minimum.
Yes, but if we decided that, you know, this group of vessels, for example, that are currently operating within the area, could overtake the one minimum capacity delivered through the door. But I think something needs to be done with them, because they do need this. It's a process where you roll out the workshops and everything in that system. So, but we need to look at that as well and encourage them.
Thanks,
John. And I have to say, there's some merit in what you're doing to bring through the motion. I'm not sure that there's any relevance in saying that, especially the road hearing district, because it's straight across the whole, whole district. But I can say that the way things have gone over this past number of years, the way things have developed, there are a number of what we're calling community festivals out there. And like the likes of the Rain of the Morn, the Booty Fair, GI Blues, and probably many, many more. And they do feel left behind, totally left behind. They can't get the funding, small amounts of funding that they need. Yet, we segregated, we picked, I'm not sure why or how we picked, or what the criteria were, who got to those, the next of the Blues in the Bay, and Finish Green, Here Comes Out, or whatever they are, and give substantial amounts of money to them on an annual basis. And then, on top of that, we have introduced in our major events across the district some very big festivals like Quakey Giant and Footsteps and the Choirs and so on. So we're drawing those things, and there is no doubt that the community festivals are feeling left behind, that they can't get that from them. I'm not sure that it should be done with a service level agreement, but I do think that because it's an enormous contribution, and I don't think it's right to say, well, maybe AHC or some communities department should be looking after them, because they're actually contributing to drawing tourists into the area and have been very successful at it. The next inclusion of AHC in the screen, you understand that, but they're being viewed now across district almost as second festivals. And we as council would support, you want a better term, drinking festivals and our own festival at the expense of community festival. And they could be out there, maybe get 2,000 or 3,000 of those from this council, and they're operating for a whole week, contributing various different types of entertainment to the community and to visitors. And I do think that it's critical that we take a look at the amount of money that we spend and how much is made available for these smaller consistent. Like they have been there for tens of years, and I don't think it's right to cut them off. We make it more difficult instead of making it easier. And like I said, I'm not sure. We're talking about the underspend there last year, tens of thousands not spent. But the tens of thousands was paid for. It wasn't allocated. Everybody didn't get what they applied for. So there's a bit of controversy in there as well. But I do think that we need a review of it. I'm not sure how best to go about it. But we are leaving behind a big number of people out there. And it has been said to me too along the way is that they're probably more prudent in small festivals because of the nature and the voluntary contribution that the people of the area make, the number of hours and what they do, and even put their own hands in the pocket, but compared to paying for everything and everything that we do for professional people. So I have to say I have some sympathy with what the government's trying to do there. I'm certainly open to the best way forward, but we do need to do something with the relief. We're not going to have these groups behind.
Just the understanding has been mentioned a couple of times, and I know it serves me right from the debates that we had as councillors before we took the decision on how we would allocate those funds. The reason that happened was because of the way we chose to do that. And I think councillors who were against the way we done it actually kind of thought at the time that we would end up with money not spent by the way that we allocated. So, I was quite clear the meetings that in the workshops that we held. The decisions we made were responsible for us, so we understand that we stated clearly at those meetings by a number of councillors that what we were doing would end up with understanding. I think I've held the workshops like on a reserve when the discussions happened, and that's clearly what was said at the time, that if we continue down this road, we will end up with money not spent at the end of the year.
Just a comment, Chair. Very would be possible you could circulate to all councillors the definition of a tourist event or a community event. Just maybe help so.
Jonathan, yourself.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first of all, I'd say very disappointed Councillor Jar has zoned in on two festivals here within his own DEA. Namely the Losing the Day and the Fiddler's Green are identified as drinking festivals. Any creative fans of that channel? As would I'm sure the organisers of those festivals. Those festivals are funded to reflect the tourism product that they offer to people both within and outside the district. So very disappointed here often, Commissioner Joy. I've never heard those sentiments from him before, and I've worked with him closely over the past couple of years, but I totally refute that. Like any festival, sometimes they're a victim of their own success. There's not as many police on the ground as their own clothes. There does be isolated incidents, but that's all they are, channel. Now, to move on to Cadogan's motion, Chair, I have to say, I would have great empathy with what Cadogan is trying to put across here. A lot of those smaller community festivals, as we all know, the smaller the village, the smaller the parish, the smaller the committee that's run of these things. And when they're faced with reams and reams of pages of an application, chairman, it can become a very, very onerous undertaking and therefore a very off-button thing. I think the number what Cadogan is trying to get at is if these groups, small committees and organising committees realised much sooner what was coming down the road on a year-to-year basis. They could plan accordingly. So it's all about forward planning. Now, I take on board what Marie's saying. Nobody knows where they are from year to year, so therefore we could navigate something ad hoc for 2 or 3 years in advance. I'm not sure if it's even possible for the festival committee organizers to actually put a program together to present to the ERT department and then try and allocate something like the Capital Works program, which we've done as part of this. So I do eventually what Kilogan's saying. I'm not sure there is a solution other than is there any mechanism or any way Andy and Marie that the deadlines, the process and time and the deadlines for actually getting these things can be wrapped up much earlier in the year. So in other words, if these committees knew in January or February exactly where they were, it's much easier to deal with, to plan for future or for summertime events than it is when you only get that notification in April, May or June. Thanks, John.
I was just going to maybe speak on your behalf. I think maybe Jarvis, what Michael was trying to get, maybe the choice of words maybe wasn't the best, but I don't think he's trying to cast any aspersions on either festival or any festival in our district. But I have to acknowledge that there is serious issues with on street drinking and underage drinking, and more so in the last year or two than there ever was before. So just to acknowledge that. I don't know about
that. That's more this, Jarvis, wasn't it? The festivals anyway, the target audience is a different group, takes place in Benson's premises, and whereas the others could be in the square in the park.
Rosie,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
Rosie,
sorry,
Chair,
I mean, I think, you know, because all around the table were repeatedly here tonight, I just would like to reiterate what I've said. I do think within councillors there's a difficulty in understanding even within councillors what is community and what is tourism. And I do think what Lynn has said, maybe if we could reissue the definitions of both to councillors, it would be useful. And the other thing that I would sort of point out is that a lower number of the community events do get other funding, you know, from businesses, etc. And they also charge for some of the events that they put on. So it's extremely difficult for us as a council to truly evaluate what exactly is being delivered. And groups and organisers come and go and drift apart and they revamp and they regroup. And, you know, it's just an absolute quagmire for us to get into. I believe that the role of the system is that this council should, in terms of really promoting tourism, was the correct route to get on. Our figures have shown that. Our business people are telling us that they are benefiting from the events which we have put on. There are free events for tourists and locals alike, and I certainly wouldn't like to see any significant change in that. I do think that we can do something in terms of supporting community groups through our DES structures in terms of helping them reform, telling them what funding streams are available. But I think the tourism is something that we should be protecting and promoting because we need to change and grow and evolve to make sure that those tourists keep coming back and that they keep more with us.
Okay. Everyone have a chance. Can you summarize things?
Well, I thank councillors for their submissions, but I think that some speakers missed the essence of what I was trying to say. I can't speak myself out loud, but my area is a tourism area. It's a huge and important industry. And when a community puts on a festival, when they put on a festival for 20 years, for 30 years, and in our glasses case, 50 years next year, they're doing it at a predictable time of year. And the people book their holidays in our area with reference to the usual date for the festival. That happens right across my area. I know it happens to a lesser extent in Rwanda, but it still happens in Rwanda. It's also a tourism area. I'm less familiar with other DEAs, so I can't believe that their other areas wouldn't have tourism as important as our tourist area would. Now, as a challenge comes, I want to suggest something that wouldn't be grounded on good governance. Clearly, if we there's the fundamental basis of having a tourism policy is being able to turn around and tell tour operators, be able to tell tourism and I, to be able to tell the world at large what we're going to do this year, next year, the year after, to be able to create a calendar around which we can plan events. and this should apply equally to big, expensive council events as community non-tourism events. Now, it'd be a simple matter for us to publish a calendar looking forward 5 years, and challenge communities to come up with a proposal for how their festival can fit into our calendar looking forward. Now, clearly, you'd be not wanting to have to set two festivals on the one weekend in one DEA, but you might well have on one weekend something in South Armagh and something in Rwanda, because they're well apart and they attract different audiences. But you could easily publish a calendar 5 years ahead and publish a service level agreement that communities will have to enter into in order to be able to plan their events and explain how their events would attract tourists, how they'd be cross-community, and how they would fulfill the tourism objectives of the council. Now, we can't call ourselves an effective tourism deliverer if we can't tell tour operators, if we can't tell the tourism industry north and south what's going to happen next year or the year after. We're only pretending to be in tourism. So, this December, with a bit of luck, the Carol Ships Festival will run in Strangford. Now, again, I'm speaking about my area, Russian, simply because I don't know your area.
I don't think
we're going
to have effect to the motion.
I am.
You're not.
I am. Last year.
I think we're going to have lots of effect of the motion if you continue
that. I'm talking to the motion. Last year, we knew a month before the Carol Ships Festival that it was on. Despite that, we got the funding, we managed to turn it around on time, we managed to get on RTE Nationwide, we managed to get on Ulster Radio, we got a lot of publicity to try to attract people to the area. We did the same with the strike of the Dawn of Ferry Rock Festival, and we did it with our drafts despite not having council funding. Now, these are tourism events. So what I'm saying to you, Chairperson, is that if we are genuinely to be a tourism provider, we need to have a calendar that can look forward. We need to be able to ask private providers, we need to be able to ask community providers to populate our calendar looking forward and have a decent tourism offering that we can publicize years in advance. We can't do that now. And the reason why we can't do it is because of our inadequate funding mechanism for community festivals. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. There's a recommendation at 3.1. So it is recommended that the council officers continue to undertake the review of the financial assistance programme in relation to the funds to be provided by the Tourism Events Fund, including the timing on the provision of potential funding, with the view that all festival and event organisers require as much lead-in time to ensure the funding support as possible. So, are we all in agreement with that?
Yeah, I propose you on the
move. Can I be a seconder for that? Gary, you second it. All in support of that?
Sure. Is there a workshop schedule or anything for that along the way?
Yeah, sure. We have just been given a little consideration to events, and you know, annually we do it as part of this process, so we will put together something in the next couple of months in relation to a workshop looking at events generally again.
Sean?
Yeah.
Sure, just before you close that item, the two speak, Carol and Brian both talked about the possibility of a calendar, is that doable?
Sure, I would suggest that is to them, the popular mechanism would be through the DEA fora and the coordination through DEA officers.
I think in Ben's talk, Charles would have this conversation. Brian, don't put your friends on the, I'm not come back over it. So we'll turn the head off and move on to the next item. I think we've spoken about this in the past, Jarvis, and Brian is right, he has raised it, and we've considered it, and I think it's raised that it needs to go back to the DEA. The problem is all these festivals, and I know everybody would like to keep them apart, but festivals are almost, you know, you're not sure a festival organizer if they have went on the same weekend for every year for the last 10, 15, 20, and that's the difficulties in it. It's getting people to commit to the act. But as I say, we need to, maybe through the workshop, Murray, that it's a direction that goes out to the DEA officers within the area that they actually look into how you put that together. Is that probably enough for that,
Charles?
Yeah. Is that answered? Okay.
Sure. Just
no, we're finishing this item.
No, just on front of action, action update, just a comment on that part of it.
The action tracking update.
Yeah.
Well, that's the next item.
All right, that's okay. Do what? That's what I'm doing.
They're even faster than me, Clint.
Well, I'm trying to tell you what.
Okay, that's, we'll have our proposal on the secondary, Charlie and Gary, so that's our last item, and then we'll move on to the four noting items, which is 9, 10, up to 16. So if anybody has any issues that would like to raise, then you want to come in on number 10?
Yeah, on page 49, Patrick, artisan markets. Has it changed from farmer markets to artisan markets, or is this the thing that always have? I'm just reading it here, so there any economic impact there? I can go see how they're performing.
No, something, right.
There has been a report brought through that there's somebody actually has to be a vehicle. So they were the report.
Who's the
German, yeah.
Because it's artisan markets now, it was not supposed to be farming involved in it as well.
Well, sure, there are all local producers that are there.
But artisans and farming is slightly different, I think.
Well, I don't know, 2 years later, is that still on consideration or what is that at?
Sure, the forest process, it is a slow burn process, to be honest with you. We have signed the lease from Plague Gullion, where that was Plague Gullion, Tullymore, Cabrini, I think. So we're currently looking at Tullymore and the liabilities and risks associated with that. And we're indeed trying to, we had stuff with committee about signing a lease for parts of Tullymore. So it's something that is unfortunately something that is quite slow because it's quite legal, but we are looking through that.
Yeah, briefly, sir.
The city of Merchants, sir.
Okay.
It was over the weekend, or maybe the last week, the event was actually come down off Facebook from around maybe a couple of times over, just to make sure that we are promoting the thing. It's a nice little program, and we'll do it, and make sure we get as many people know about it as possible.
Sure.
Thank you.
Cool.
Okay.
Just under the ERT business plan, which is very tiny and tiny here, but I'm going to go with it. We have, if people would remember, we took, as part of our business development, we took a visit to Smithham last year, such and self and Roshina's chair. The Belfast Region City Deal group is looking at partnering on Medham as a region and moving forward, and that would look at potentially a £10,000 contribution from this council, and for that we would have pay from the staff and promotion, etc. I will bring a detailed report back to committee next month, but I'm just conscious that they're doing launches and stuff and that I've only received paperwork on, so I wanted the committee to at least know that I'm looking at this at the minute, and if there was any issues, just to advise me.
My own one doesn't know where.
Just on that, Marie, because we were there last year, I mean, it's unbelievable the network and opportunity that creates. And, you know, I know Belfast has got a lot out of it. And I think the only way that we would ever be promoted would be if we were to visit ourselves and had paid our bit into the pot, you know, to be able to promote ourselves. So it was an amazing platform, and you couldn't feel but be impressed. You know, with the events and you know, the deals that have come out of them.
After the report came back in the next meeting and spring and nothing. Darren, did you indicate
that? Yeah, well, it was sort of a mixture of going to the park, doing the lease of the forest,
It was around the basin of these forest plots. I was just hoping that through the basin nations of the world and then to go to them. You know, I'm just wondering around the basin, it's brought my attention to people that this whole business, when the lease was saying that the responsibility for the bucket of the box, I think this is how you integrate it into the box. So, it's just a very odd name. It's all like there's only here in the basin that represents the castle building. I know when you're doing the water or whatever it is, but the stuff there about, you know, access and market traffic and that too. It's just a highlight that for the game of travel that one, because apparently this is really putting, it's not going down there to believe the issue of rules when you start parking. They were out of it.
I think this is probably a wee bit of concern for me.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, everybody have enough then with the notice items that we can move on to the end committee, I guess. Yeah? We're only looking for proposal and a second. Proposer and a seconder for those items that are right through from number 9 through to number 16, yeah, your proposer, and then your second. Thank you. This item is deemed to be restricted by virtue of paragraph 3 of Schedule 6 of the Local Code of Government, Section 14, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person. Taking the council holding that information on the public may be the resolution to exclude during the time of business and proposing it after. Gary and Roshan, thank you. Just bear with us then, the procurement is undertaken to appoint a flying display director for the Festival of Flight 2019 with the option of extending the appointment to cover the event in 2020 and 21 in order to be assured that the air show is managed to escape in compliance with all necessary regulations and provide value for money. We have a proposal and a second for that. Declan and Harry.
Proposed.
Okay, folks, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.